What's up, Fight Fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, April 10th, 2023, and this week's episode, Adesanya's Revenge. We'll be talking about a stacked UFC 287 and the aftermath of the middleweight rematch between Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya. We'll talk about Gilbert Burns versus Jorge Masvidal and the highlights of the undercard. We'll talk about the latest in MMA news, the UFC returns to Vancouver with a women's bantamweight trilogy, and we'll talk about the latest with the UFC and WWE as well as International Fight Week before previewing UFC Kansas City, Max Holloway taking on Arnold Allen. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez and I'm joined by my co-host Natalie Zamudio.
Double G, happy Easter. Did you eat all your candy? Easter candy, what's going on?
I just like those solid milk chocolate rabbits that they sell.
Yeah,
that's my jam.
the ones that look like robin eggs.
Yeah, sometimes they're like, they always wrap them in like the gold foil, and I'm like, yep, that's, if it's not wrapped in gold, it's not sweet enough. I'll just tell you right now. What about you?
Oh my god. Well, you know, Easter egg hunt, I found, you know, you can buy anything on Amazon, so I found the biggest Easter eggs I could find so I could put a toy train that my son wanted.
Uh-huh.
Like in parts, and then we hid it in the yard, and so that was fun.
That's cute.
Good stuff, but I didn't eat enough yesterday. I didn't eat a lot. I feel like I'm still hungry. I just too busy with the Easter eggs.
I mean, what better way to celebrate, you know, the return of Street Jesus than with celebrating regular Jesus, right?
Exactly. Double Jesus weekend, you got it.
So let's talk about it. UFC 287. How do I put this into words? I watch a lot of fights. I cover a lot of fights. So when I'm at home, it's not like I don't still get excited to see certain people, particularly those that, you know, you develop a relationship with over the course of this job. So there's always something, you know. But when you watch so many fights, it's like, okay, you already know anything can happen. Sometimes surprises. Sometimes people are more dominant. Saturday's main event is one of the few times I gotta tell you I was lifted up off of my seat since I've gone from strictly a fan to now being part of the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is how insane I thought that finish was for Israel Adesanya. Look, first round, pretty competitive. Pereira's working the calf. Adesanya's throwing a lot more. The problem with fighting a guy like Alex is that, you know, you can't really throw hands with him unless you are a big specimen yourself. And I think that that was one of the things that I felt like, oh, this is suddenly starting to be a problem for Adesanya. Like, he's not keeping that beast of a champion off of him well enough. And Alex looked very confident, as he should have. And then we get to that second round, and I kid you not, Natalie, he gets Adesanya to the fence, and I thought, here we go. He has his number. Yep. It's not meant to be. He's just too much for him. He's got the recipe. Adesanya just doesn't have the formula to beat this man, as talented as he is. Changing of the guard. Robert Whittaker's back in the game. Marvin Vettori's back in the game. And then three-piece and a soda puts Pereira to sleep. Oh my goodness, I was shocked just out of nowhere. I had to, you know, rewind it back. I couldn't tell you what John Anik and them said in the moment. It was like everything just, the world disappeared for like, you know, 3 seconds while, you know, Pereira went down. And you see the elation in Adesanya, and I was like, wow, just triumphant. I'm going to toss it to you. I can't add more.
Yeah, it was the guttural primal scream of victory, of, you know, defeating your demons, of shutting everybody, all the naysayers up. I mean, that everything was in that scream at the end, and the, you know, the bow and arrow thing. You know, he's always got a wicked finishing move. It was exactly what you want out of an MMA fight, and he set it up perfectly throughout the week. You know, this is my moment, right? I'm down three. What a perfect story. What a perfect way to finish it would be. for me to come and blast this guy to the moon. And he did it, and exactly in a situation where we thought it was the beginning of the end for him once more. Those leg kicks were brutal. We know they hurt him in the previous fight. You know, when he admitted to playing possum against the cage there in that finishing sequence, a little bit, I wondered how much possum did he play, right? Did he pretend the leg kicks hurt more than they did? Or, you know, was
Did
it
he pull a
just,
Habib, kind of says it just to sound cool a little bit, you know?
yeah, I don't know, but it was a beautiful thing. It's the kind of, you know, Rocky moment that everybody wants to experience in their own way, in their own specific, you know, world. So, you know, we're not all fighters, obviously, we're not all athletes, but there's something you want badly, and you keep missing a chance to win it, to get it, and when you finally do, man, you want to scream. And he said it too on the mic. I hope everyone gets to feel this moment of happiness in whatever arena you're competing in, whatever that could be. So it was a beautiful moment for him. Just wicked knockout. And the shots didn't even look hard. They were close range. You know, it's just Adesanya is one of those fighters that can hurt you, that can generate a lot of power from close distance without a lot of windup. Special, like Silva, right? Like Anderson Silva. So just a great moment, a perfect way to cap off the pay-per-view evening. The death drop at the end, you know, for Pereira's son, that was cold. That's just some cold ass business right there. But you know, that's Adesanya. He says it himself. He's petty. I don't like it, but it's what it is. Some people never forget. If you wrong them, he doesn't care if you're a kid. He's gonna pay you back. So, what a triumphant moment for him. You know, it puts everyone else in the division on notice. And I think Pereira, you know, Dana White hinted at suggesting that he thought Pereira should move up. Doesn't seem like Pereira's interested, but I would be curious to see what Pereira's next move would be, because he is really big for the division, and those weight cuts, I mean, let's not pretend. They do affect you, right? They do diminish you in some ways.
Absolutely. A lot to touch on. Without it, I gotta say, it's kind of like, men, women, children, no one's safe, right? When it
Yep.
comes to
Oh, yeah. No one's
Adesanya.
safe. No.
I gotta say, once again, Ultimate Fighting Championship, not Ultimate Feelings.
Yeah.
Was it a little, I get it. He's a grown man. This is a child at the time. He's obviously probably like a young
Right.
teen now. He's Pereira's
So it's
son.
not so bad now, yeah.
Yeah, but I get it. It's like I mean, for crying out loud, this man, I'm gonna just say it, he knows what he's doing when he's out there with the pink hair, pearl necklace, French tip nails. He's trolling. He does all this. He knows he wants you to ask about it and all that. And I'll say this, in the grand scheme of things we've seen and heard, that wasn't that bad. That clip, when he explains what it was like for to see Pereira's son do that to him when he got knocked out in Brazil, I kind of get it. It's like, you little,
Yeah, because that's ballsy to do it in front as a kid, and to do it right next to the man that your dad just beat. Like, that's cold.
I mean, Natalie, if a grown you as a grown person, if you saw a little child messing with you like that, you would be like, "Oh, you little, you're lucky you're not my child. I would
Yeah, I wouldn't forget either. And
get the
every time I
belt
saw
right
that
off my
kid,
waist right now."
yeah, I would give that kid cold, hard mom eyes every time I saw him for the rest of my life. I wouldn't forget.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't forget. And so maybe I wouldn't do the drop, but I would definitely stare that kid down every single time. So I get it.
Yeah, grand scheme of things, I don't think that's as bad as people want to make it out to be. But
No.
okay. I want to touch on one more thing. Look, Adesanya, easily one of the biggest superstars in the sport today. Prior to Jon Jones coming back, it was like him and Jorge Masvidal. UFC put their money where their mouth was to say, we're paying you guys because you guys are the ones who put the butts in the seats, get the
Yeah.
pay-per-view sales to go up and perform the way we want superstars to perform when you're out there. So when you have a guy clearly at the top of his game, has everything, young, kicking butt, making money, part of an amazing team, has his whole crew, and you're reminded how much this means to this guy to actually go out there and do everything that involves that it takes to get the W. Not just, let's be honest, he's a talented guy. Maybe doesn't need to always work as hard as he does to defeat the competition, right? And you saw it, and I think that that's an appreciation for what makes Adesanya great when he's in that cage. And so I want to say I appreciated that. I appreciated that he was that genuine and honest, and we could see it. You understand what makes a guy like him special, and I thought that was really what we got out of Saturday. Look, Pereira at 205, don't hate it, but I kind of want to see, like, okay, like, is this the best spot for you? Because it's not like it's a cakewalk at 205.
No.
And respectfully, we haven't seen all that much of Pereira. He's had some really great style matchups leading up to this fight, these two fights with Adesanya now. When I think about him versus Blachowicz, him against, I don't want to say Jamahal Hill and all the way back up there, but Anthony Smith, Ankalaev, these are some, big dogs over there and very well-rounded guys at 205 that I don't wonder if he doesn't still benefit from maybe developing his skills with guys, quote unquote, more his size at 185. And now look, less dehydration. Does he take those shots from Adesanya better at 205? Maybe, only he knows. But for what it's worth, I do want to see maybe a little more at the 185 before we decide, hey, our skills are going to translate to the big boys of 205. Because I think people forget 185 to 205 is the biggest jump in the weight classes outside of heavyweight.
Yeah.
Like, 45 to 55, 10 pounds. 35, 45, 10 pounds. 55 to 70, 15. 185 to 205, that's a whole 20 pounds. To a lot of people, that's a whole different species of human. Only Anthony Smith and Thiago Santos, in my mind, have really, or I think Blachowicz too, really showed that you could develop as a real solid 205er, but it's a very big jump to make. Even Chris Weidman went back down to 85. Wasn't worth it.
Yeah, not worth it.
So I think that's one for Pereira. Look, take time off, heal up. There's options out there, and we're gonna, he'll get an outlier from our next conversation. Where do we go next with Adesanya? I'll be honest, I heard talk of the trilogy. If they do it, I get it. Wouldn't altogether hate it. I like that Adesanya drew the line in the sand to say, nah, we're moving on. We're fighting someone new. Because that is what I want. Even if we do get a trilogy, I'd rather see them both fight one or two more guys. And then all the marbles, let's get it. Don't mind it. When I look at 185, I think that you have to acknowledge, okay, Adesanya's beaten a bunch of these guys now. One, what do you really want to make happen? And two, who are you willing to risk? And so the guy that comes to mind is Khamzat Chimaev. And I know the big argument, well, he needs to fight a top 85er. He technically only fought one top-ranked fighter in the UFC career, and that was Gilbert Burns at 170. People want to see him against a Whittaker or a Vettori, someone like that, a top 85er before you give him an 85 title shot. I think it's kind of like Islam Makhachev, Charles Oliveira. People were like, oh, well, Islam didn't fight a blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, you knew what was the fight to make. You knew what storyline you had. And you knew who was performing. That they didn't try to make Makhachev Beneil again. They pulled the trigger on Charles versus Islam. And look where we're at right now with Islam and Charles, to be honest. So
Yeah.
I feel like that's what you got to do if you're UFC. I think Adesanya, Chimaev, Abu Dhabi this October makes all the sense in the world. You could do it sooner, you could do Madison Square Garden, but my impression that I am thinking is that if you've made Hamzat wait this long already, he fought in September, and quite bluntly, he didn't hurt himself. If you're gonna make him wait this long, just pull the trigger on the title. Those other fights are out there if he loses anyway. So I feel like that's what you could do. If you decide, okay, we're gonna make Khamzat fight a Paulo Costa or Robert Whittaker, all right, then get someone new for Adesanya. Let's go Dricus du Plessis. And I heard, I don't know, did you see his post-fight comment
Yeah,
on
when he didn't even
Dricus?
want to say his name, said yeah.
Oh, though, I gotta say, I'm sorry, he sold that fight without saying his name. I want to drag his carcass across South Africa. Oh, holy. I want to see this tomorrow. That would be the way he talked about it.
I know, it was very personal.
Oh my gosh, I liked it. I think that's perfect because, okay, Adesanya gets to keep testing himself, gets to show how good he is by beating more guys. I saw the graphic. Currently in the top five of the UFC rankings, he's beaten all of those guys. Just think about that. So, a new guy like Dracus, don't mind it. Dracus is performing well, finished Darren Till, finished Derek Brunson. Khamzat, you could build that fight up. Let him fight earlier before Abu Dhabi, like July. Let him fight Whitaker, Costa, and man, let's just get it on now. You know what I mean? So, those are my two. That's my two ideas. What about you?
Okay, yeah, I mean, I ain't gonna disagree with those great ideas. Except, okay, they're great ideas, but I am with Adesanya as far as Dricus Duplessis goes. Too soon, like, whether he said the whether he made his comments about being the real African, fighter because he still lives there. Whether he really believes it or he just said it to get, some attention and to get this scenario in play. I think it's too soon. So just one more fight, one more good win, and then put him up to Adesanya because one, it's just, wait your turn. But two, I like your first idea best, which is Khamzat. I think you're right. Storyline and name value is enough to just get you the title shot right off the bat. And I think you said Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect. Look, think about Adesanya, the man who went up to 205 to fight Jan Blachowicz. Like, he's not afraid of anyone. We know that. And he'll love a new challenge. I think he would get more excited to take on that fight. Finish, presumably, beat Khamzat, and then whoever's next, Duplessis or whatever. But I like your first idea best, so let's see.
Well, the thing with Khamzat fighting someone else is like, okay, I mean, here's the thing. Let's just shoot straight, If you had told me the way they were hyping up Khamzat that both Jiří Prochazka and Alex Pereira would get a title shot before him, I would have told you, I don't know if they love them that much, but look where we are. So I feel like, okay, if you're really about building this fight as much as you can. All right, then, I go with Dracus because it's kind of like Amanda Nunes. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's kind of like you've beaten everyone else. Next man up. And Dracus at least is on a good little run right now. So it's kind of like, if not Khamzat, then who? Because I don't want Adesanya to now be like, well, now you gotta wait months for Khamzat to one, get a fight, and then two, recover from that one, prep for the title fight. I don't want that for Adesanya. I want to see him get back out there. So that's where I stand with it. Like I said, anything could obviously happen. But look, he's up 2-0 on Vettori, who's also there. Obviously 2-0 against Whittaker. I'd rather they just make the Khamzat fight happen, and then Pereira could fight a Costa Whittaker, and we just keep rolling from there.
Yeah, I would love to see Pereira Whitaker. That would
Oh
be.
yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, so there we are. Co-main event, that was actually a very fun scrap as well. I know that a lot of people thought this, Gilbert Burns, the way he's been fighting, it might just be a tragedy for Jorge Masvidal in Miami, but they actually scrapped pretty well across the first round. Obviously, get it going. Masvidal, I thought, looked pretty good. I thought he was maintaining that distance well, considering everything he had to deal with from Burns. Obviously, second round, the grappling. Third round, I appreciated the Burns kind of got in his face and got after him a little bit and said, you know what? BMF, Street Jesus, all this. Well, let's take it, let's fight like we're street. And he just started throwing hands with him. Jorge, all right, let's go. Threw back. Wasn't going his way, if I'm being honest. But look, it was a fun scrap. I enjoyed it, obviously. Pressure and grappling ruled the day for Gilbert Burns. He gets that pretty, decisive nod. We'll talk about Masvidal in a second, but what were your thoughts on the fight?
It was a good fight for Gilbert Burns. I felt Masvidal just didn't look great. Looked a little flat. Just even physically, like when I compared, not that I'm like studying his physique, but comparing it to Askren, Till, that era, he just didn't look as fit. Okay, whatever. But performance-wise, he had a few moments here and there, but he was not able to string much together, and the way he did with Nate Diaz, it was a tough opponent. Burns was a tough opponent, and that fear of the takedown, limits your fluidity on your feet. So for a last fight, not the best, but it doesn't matter because, we're looking at the sum of the whole, right? But I thought Burns looked great. I think he really showed, we already know he can punch and that he has crazy power. But I really like that he was just in there scrapping with Masvidal just to show him that he could, just to remind him that he could. And then he's like, okay, I'll go back to grabbing you, holding you up against the cage. I can't wait. We'll talk about Masvidal's retirement, but I also want to touch on after that the Gilbert Burns post-fight press conference. But I'll toss it back to you.
Oh yeah, I know what you're getting at.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you're retiring. You can't, that's a perfect time to bend the rules a little
Yep,
bit.
I suppose.
Yeah, I heard it. He thought Masvidal was okay. Yeah, he was like high level greasing, so he said, "Look, you take a shower, you get lotion, you stir toweled off, so when the commission checks you, you're technically dry, but the second you start sweating, you're just greasy." Okay, all right, I heard that. And even Gilbert was like, "Well, freaking, that's just freaking level 10 veteran move right there to know how to bend it like that, not just put some baby oil, walk out to the cage." Okay. For Gilbert Burns, look, he's as deserving as anyone. I mean, that battle with Khamzat, freaking epic. Bounces back, really throttles Beneil. Gets a win over a big name. Once again, people would argue top five draw in the UFC right now in Masvidal. If you tell me he got the title shot over Colby Covington, I still don't feel good about it for Bilal Muhammad. But you know what? After these last few, power to you. Earned it. Been in the game, paid his dues, got the wins. Unfortunately, I do think that, quite bluntly, him and Bilal are gonna have to fight each other. Gilbert's gonna just be on the sideline, I think. I think he's just gonna have to wait to get somebody. It looks like they're really committed to just Leon versus Colby, but ideally, if I'm being honest with you, Bilal and Gilbert fight each other. That way, no matter what, Leon or Colby gets a good fight and we just roll from there. You know what I mean? What about you?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that makes sense. So Gilbert Burns will probably have to sit on ice a little bit, but it's just the way it is. This was his big moment, big pay-per-view in Miami, fighting Masvidal in re sending him into retirement. So, we're not forgetting what he can do, but there's already there's already a championship title basically signed, sealed, and delivered. But maybe if he wants to be a backup, I don't know if he's interested in that at all.
He did say, yeah, he'll take it. I understand. There's now like the, it's like I know, like for example, Ariel Helwani and them talked about it. Like, who wants to be the backup fighter? Because now with the Colby Covington thing, now you feel like it guarantees you a title shot. It's like, does it though? I don't know. I mean, look, I look at it. Burns is at five. Like I said, I want to see him and Bilal. If you're both waiting for Colby and Leon, then let's do that. Kamaru, once again, if Khamzat has to fight someone else, how about Kamaru Usman? Don't mind it.
Yeah,
I
that's a
know
great one,
what.
actually.
Yeah, Wonderboy. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. Who's he fighting in June? Or did they reveal it and just not? He said he's
Don't
got a fight. I just can't remember who. Da, 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 da. Oh, Michel Pereira. I mean, like I said, honestly, Kamaru could wait a minute. Like, coming off injuries. So just pull the trigger on Burns and Bilal and get line them up on the timeline for Leon Colby. Don't put them like months off and then it's like, okay, one of us is screwed now. So that's my
Yeah,
thing.
gotcha.
Jorge Masvidal, I gotta say, in terms of, I want to just say it. I always try to call it down the middle, right? It's like that gif. They had us in the first half, not gonna lie. He had a great first few bars of his post-fight speech, and he's like, you know, I just don't feel the same when I'm out here anymore. And you know, it always sucks to hear one of those guys talk like that. Like when Cowboy says,
The Cowboy
I
says
just don't love it anymore. And I'm like, the F you mean you don't love it anymore? You're the guy who freaking fought too much because you loved it, right?
it.
So when you hear a guy like Jorge say, I just don't feel it, it's like, oh, that kind of hurt my feelings a bit. I love what he said, like, hey, you know, like when I started this, I didn't have anything. Now I'm set for life. I thought that's beautiful. I mean, how many guys don't ever get there who, you know, have had to do as many things as he's done, who wasn't a bone nickel, you know, Alex Pereira, just like you come in off the bat and good things are happening for you, you know? So I appreciated that. Yes, he kind of let, look, full credit to him. Speak your mind, say what you want. I know he's campaigned for the commander in the audience, you know, President Trump. I mean, look, anytime you talk about politics, you always seem to alienate close to 50% at least, right? So, you know what? Power to him. We live in a beautiful country where you get to speak your mind. But I almost felt like, all right, Jorge, we were, you know, you were having like your Oscar acceptance speech and then it just kind of turned into MMA Twitter. But look, okay, he's speaking his mind. Power to him. I loved his walkout. You know, I love that he was the one that got the blue and pink neon lights out there for him. I loved all of that. And yeah, just what are your thoughts? I'll let you have the word on Jorge Masvidal, you know, riding off into the sunset.
Well, I'm glad he got to do it in Miami. And what better way? Those are those moments that you can script them, but you never know if they're going to shake out. Like, when Glover Teixeira went back to Brazil to fight Jamal, no, was it Jamal Hill? Yeah. And you're thinking if he wins and he wants to retire, this is the perfect place to do it. But, it doesn't always work out that way. However, for Masvidal, despite losing, it was still a win because he was at home. Fully, embraced by the crowd. I gotta tell you, I don't always watch the pay-per-views live. So I was watching this one on ESPN Plus at like 2 in the morning when I woke up, and I was like, I gotta see the fights. I watched the clipped versions already, right? So they already broke out the fight on ESPN Plus. So I didn't see the opening of the pay-per-view. And that the reason I mentioned that is because when Masvidal's on the mic saying, I want to, dedicate this to the best president, I swear to God, I thought he was talking about Dana White. I was like, wow, that's really sweet. He's the best president of the UFC. Yeah, that's smart. And then I was like, wait a minute, not that president. So yeah, politics, you bring politics in the cage. Yeah, you're going to alienate about half of the people there. Masvidal's crafty in the cage and outside of the cage, right? So I was thinking about what you always say, securing the bag. He's basically was securing the bag for his post-fight career, right? Let me give a big shout out to this man who's going to run for president again, former president Donald Trump. Let me get the crowd going,
Secure the Miami vote.
secure the Miami vote, just secure my future in Florida. So wherever I go, everyone's like, hey, I love you, bro. Let's get a chant of let's go, Brandon, all
Oh
the things that
gosh,
are so
yep.
polarizing that make you cringe or make you cheer, depending on what side you're on, what your perspective is, I should say. He even threw a shout out in for the governor, Ron DeSantis, who might run against Trump. Like, the man is crafty. He's covering all his bases. So to me, it didn't feel so much of the as like a political move as a just opportunistic, I'm gonna prime my position post-fight career move. I don't like the politics entering the octagon, but I get it, and it's very Masvidal to do something like that. You know, it's very Tony Montana. So it is what it is. But overall, did the man give us amazing couple of an amazing career? Yes. Think about that last handful of years, starting with Darren Till, Leon Edwards, Ben Askren, 6 days notice, Kamaru Usman, BMF. Like, that was an amazing end to a career. So, you know, hats off to him. And yeah, I'm very curious to see what he's going to do in the future. On the promotion side, he's already had success. Do you think you'll ever see him doing a BKFC like Luke Rockhold? I don't know, but you know, don't never say never, right?
I mean, not BKFC. I could see, someone like a Jake Paul trying to throw the bag for
Okay,
boxing.
yeah.
Could see that. I mean, just thinking about that whole speech and the way
I
that played
know.
out. One thing I gotta tell you, one thing about many Floridians that I've met, they love the way Florida is run. For the way it's like, I'll say this, I live in California. I don't know that I've heard as many people talk about California leadership as the way that a lot of Floridians talk about how they feel about their leadership. And that's two completely different states that have a completely different set of priorities. And, not to say one is better or worse, but that's just been my experience. When I talk to about a lot of Californians, it's divided. Floridians, they like to tell me what's wrong with the way California's being run.
They're united on hating California.
It's like, you know what's good about us compared to you guys? And I'm like, oh, here we go. But hey, let me tell you something. I appreciate their feelings about their politics. It sounds like they're actually on a page that actually is good for what they do. And I'm gonna just leave it at that, Anyway, look, I know not all states are like that. So Masvidal, he's in there, lived it, raised up in it. He knows what he's cooking when he goes to the kitchen. Now,
Yeah.
in terms of his career, I mean, kind of like you talk about those old YouTube videos of, undercard with Kimbo Slice in the backyard, right? I mean, and then you talk about the career he's had in the last few years, and you think about the little things. I mean, he was on the wrong end of the submission of the year, inverted triangle, Toby Yamada. He was the first Bellator main event, but the thing is, he bounced back from things like that to deliver, the knockout of all knockouts. I told you, I looked down, I missed it. 4 or 5 seconds, Ben Askren, and Dana White said it changed his life, changed his
Yeah.
career. I think that maybe, look, he's always been a fun fighter, won some, lost some. That was kind of the story of his career, right? And I think that once he actually reached that and was willing to embrace the whole Tony Montana Scarface, grew the hair out, started just leaning into this street Jesus from the streets of Miami kind of deal,
Yeah.
it just kind of clicked with the fans. And I think that he kind of got to play a more genuine version of himself, really get people invested in it. At the same time, he's a fun fighter and he just kind of hit that stride at the right time for himself. And you talk about the impact of the BMF title. I mean, it was such a fun event, right? It's the biggest extracurricular event we've ever had, just all this, the Rock comes out and all that. And I think about that for him, and it's like, yeah, how many of these guys this late in their career, that many fights in, get to become a superstar like this? It just doesn't happen.
Doesn't
You
happen.
either, you just don't hit it past a certain age. Like, what, he was like 34, 35? I mean, Charles Oliveira, respectfully, he's gotten to the UFC at 19, 20, at 30 years old, becomes a champion, got to enjoy this. Jorge Masvidal was a ways, beyond that, So I think as a story, that's certainly one. It's a testament to just be you and keep putting in that work, 'cause you never know what could happen. Look, if we're shooting it down the middle, I'm gonna say again, obviously the whole Colby at the restaurant thing and all that, I can't tell you that I felt good about it. Some other people also said as much. Not perfect individual, but true to himself. And I
Yes,
gotta
sir.
say, that got people invested in him, which is something not everybody is able to do. Chito Vera, same thing. Maybe win some, lose some, but people care about his fights. Not everyone gets there, no matter how hard they try, and I think that that's something very commendable. It took him a minute, but he finally figured out how to crack the code, and I think he got to share people who he was, and he found out people really liked it. How awesome is that? So,
Oh, yeah.
there you go. So Jorge, look forward to more Game Bred boxing promotion events. I look forward to maybe another mezcal, whatever he's got going. I'm sure he'll be around, but yeah, for now, it was a great run. It was a lot of fun. Certainly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole night. I loved all week, all this Miami Vice, everything's blue and pink and all this. I think that's the one misstep. The poster was maybe blue and not, sorry, purple and yellow as opposed to blue and pink. I felt like they really missed a softball, but okay, I'll take it. I loved all the commentators getting into it, all the pre-fight stuff, everyone, press conference, all that. They're in their Miami style
Oh
white
yeah, they
pants.
are.
It looked like a great time. I'm gonna speed through the highlights because we got a lot. Rob Font, I mean, turns, just kind of gets back in the win column. Really shocked Adrian Yanez.
Oh yeah.
Was taking shots, but then he gets a beautiful finish. I mean, what more can you say? He had w lost some. Kind of looked like they were setting up Adrian to get over on Rob, and Rob said, not tonight. Liked it. Kevin Holland kind of tried to steal the show. All this talk with Masvidal, but then he comes out, gets that win over Ponzinibbio. That was also a decent, little back and forth. But that was a beautiful finish. Chris Curtis, Kelvin Gastelum obviously went at it with each other. That was a really fun scrap. And Kelvin, another one. Maybe Curtis is the guy. They're like, hey, how much does Kelvin still have in it? Reminded everybody, delivers the win for himself after the layoff. That was another good one too. Not for nothing. Raul Rosas Jr., he gets upset by Christian Rodriguez, and that was just a good showcase for the prospects there at the top of the pay-per-view. So it was just a decent night overall in Miami. What about you?
Totally. It was a lot of fun. Rob Font's boxing is just killer, man. Slick as heck.
Yep.
Kevin Holland, the face plant of Ponzinibbio, that was wicked. And when a fighter gets hit that hard and then they don't realize how bad it is, they stand up, they're fighting with the ref. So those are the kinds of things where you gotta just say, please look at the replay and you'll totally understand. It was a completely right call by the ref. I don't remember who the ref was. Dude, Kelvin Gastelum, back to form. I mean, I never thought I'd see him looking like his old self again. I really thought after the Adesanya fight, it was just never quite the same. I worried he would just become a gatekeeper, but he looked great. He was bouncing, his 1-2 was sharp, his head movement. Chris Curtis was not an easy out by any means. In fact, it was pretty close. I wasn't sure which way the judges were going to go because Chris Curtis was there the whole time to hit Kelvin right back, especially body shots. But I'm so happy to see Kelvin Gastelum back in form, and so looking forward to the next matchup. Christian Rodriguez also impressed the heck out of me. His composure. I know Rogan kept talking about it during the fight, but I mean his face didn't move. Like the muscles in his face never contracted the whole time that he was trying to keep Rosas off of him or find a way to submit him. Really, really mature, like next level composure. And Raul Rosas Jr., it's just, learning curve. You're excited, you come out, you want to prove that you're the hot shot everyone thinks you are, and you get handed a lesson a little bit. But no worries there, he'll come back. So it was a great night of fighting. I can't remember, Cynthia Calvillo fought Lupi Godin.
Godinez, yeah.
That was a good fight. That was a pretty good scrap. I liked Lupi's I actually thought Cynthia won that one, but it was close. I liked Lupi's reaction at the end when she was so excited to have been punched in the nose and to be bleeding from the nose. Like, that's someone who just loves to scrap. So that was fun to see. I didn't get a chance to see Michelle Waterson yet, though. Was that a good fight?
That was a competitive one. Some people
Okay.
thought it should have gone Michelle, but yeah, that was just another good scrap too. Yeah, and she can, I mean, obviously that was a critical one, not go her way, but still show people like where she's at,
Yeah.
because she's kind of struggled a little bit in the last few. But yeah, it was a good night, like I said. I mean, obviously we'll talk about it maybe more closer to July, but long overdue, Rory McDonald, Robbie Lawler too. The fight, the stare down, the lip, the blood, the more blood, the more carnage. I mean, goes into the Hall of Fame, joins Anderson Silva, Cowboy Cerrone, Jose Aldo, Jens Pulver. I mean, personally speaking, I mean, what took them so long? I do appreciate, Rory, now retired and in his career with PFL. Robbie, more on the tail end, maybe looking at just the last couple here or so for his run. Just long overdue. I remember I wasn't, it was one of those that the few I've gone to see, like at a movie theater. And let me tell you something, that was an experience to watch that one live in a theater. I gotta say, like, Conor McGregor that night and everything. I mean, when you remember, like, oh, well, that was the night Conor McGregor became a superstar. They remember it for that, not the fact that he fought Chad Mendes, but everyone remembers the fight with Robbie and Rory. And I think that's all you need to say about a fight like that. Just that classic war of all wars in the modern era. Loved it. What about you?
Yeah, that's one of those fights. There are only a few where you can say to a new MMA fan or someone who's curious, watch this and see. This is what it's all about. The class of 2023, as you're reading the list, man, that's a killer class. So we'll definitely look forward to that ceremony. But McDonald Lawler 2 is even beyond the Hall of Fame. Like, it's just epitome of MMA, basically.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a good one. I'm looking forward to just hearing them talk about it. I want to ask them both, like, all right, now you guys train together in Florida. Are you guys like Rocky and Apollo Creed? Like, oh, you guys have the third fight in the gym. No one talks about it.
I'm sure.
Oh, I would love to, right? But
Yeah.
yeah. Look, we had a bunch of MMA news. Probably the most pertinent one, UFC returning to Vancouver with the trilogy between Amanda Nunes and Juliana Peña. I did see this morning, I didn't get a chance to read it. Even Amanda said she thought it would be Irene Aldana, but she said, look, the fact is that's the fight they made to go with the Peña trilogy. Like I said, June 10th, Vancouver. I mean, just give me your thoughts on this one.
This one had me hitting the brakes, man. Screech, Screech City, brakes squealing. What?
Record scratch.
Record scratch, Scooby-Doo, roar, like, what in the blazes? I don't understand this matchup. We didn't need to see a third one. The first one was amazing, shocking. Amazing for how shocking it was. Great performance for Peña. She'll always be a champion. But the second one wasn't even close, man. Like, it wasn't even close. And I gotta believe that Peña just really lobbied for herself. We know she's tight with Dana White. She must have made a case for it. And I guess if you're gonna ever do it, now's the time while it's still sort of fresh in people's minds. If you wait too long, if Nunes fights somebody else and loses, she'll never get a title shot against Nunes again. So, okay, you can sort of, use your eraser and white out and make the MMA math work a little bit here, but Aldana deserved the shot. It's hers. It should have been hers to get. And, I guess Aldana, was Aldana already scheduled for a fight? Like, am I just getting this wrong? Was she not available?
There had been talks, so I just looked at it. Amanda said that she goes with what the UFC said. She said, they didn't offer Irene, they just said, we're gonna go with Peña. And she said,
Okay.
all right, then let's go.
All right. I mean, that's easy work for her, no offense, but to Peña.
I mean, look, she's obviously, Amanda's obviously heavily favored. I mean, I don't think I'm breaking news on that. I don't know if it's a name value thing. They felt like, okay, we're going back to Canada and this trilogy with all this previous footage, Ultimate Fighter stuff, we could sell it easier than selling another one. Personally, I don't know why you wouldn't try to push more for Aldana and this, potentially four Mexican champions, right? I mean, it feels like almost like just from the last few months, it would actually be better because now you could sell, hey, can she join the crowd? Alexa, Yair, Brandon. Technically speaking, she still had would have had a chance to make it four before Yair fights Volkanovski in July. So it's like, all right, like I said, I'm perplexed too, but it's like, okay, the UFC made the call and that's the fight we have. I'm interested to see how much they try to stack this undercard because now UFC is saying, okay, we're trying to do potentially two pay-per-views in July, one Vegas International Fight Week, one in London. You obviously have the end of the year MSG back to Vegas coming up. Where's the Conor McGregor card gonna fall? All of that to say, you have a lot of champions being stacked up that you now need to distribute them. And it's like, okay, when we start talking about the latter half, it's like, okay, who's waiting? Who can we just book? Because sometimes, it doesn't work out, and then it's like, you don't want to wait too long, and we have a very weird situation. I'll tell you right now, I am still perplexed what is going on with Zhang Weili. It's like she gets through Carla Esparza, and it's like, are we waiting for something? And I get it. Maybe it was a little bit of the Jessica Andrade losing, and now it's like, well, we lost our obvious fight. Makes me wonder, are they planning to just throw Tatiana Suarez in and let's just get it rolling? I don't know. But yeah, with the schedule, I'm like, okay. I will say just respectfully, I feel like that card, from what I know, 2 months out, needs some help. It can't just be Amanda and Pena and Wonder Boy versus Pereira. It's just, pay-per-view prices are going up. It needs a little bit of help, is what I think. That's all. Yeah. On that note, I wouldn't mind Aldana Raquel Pennington too. Winner lines it up for the belt. Let's do it. I think that would be good for the undercard. One of them could be backup. What about you?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, yeah, you definitely want to back up just because it adds to the story. Like you don't want to back up because necessarily Nunes and Pena have a history of falling out of their fights last minute. But it adds to the story. You can interview more people. It just makes the fight week a little more interesting. So that is definitely the smart move.
In our next piece, Dana White kind of touched on a little more of the WWE and UFC coming together under one umbrella. He said, look, he reiterated a lot of what we talked about, and so this isn't a long thing. They're going to stay separate. There's not going to be, guys and girls trying to go back and forth. That's not a thing. However, something's been brought up that it didn't even cross my mind. So WWE, I forget what they call it, respectfully. I'm not a pro wrestling guy, but essentially they have their own streaming service that's like an app, like Fight Pass. And you get the whole enchilada. You get old events, the stuff they're doing on TV with the Raw and SmackDown, and then obviously pay-per-views, for like the price of like 20, $25 a
Dude,
month.
it used to when I mean, because I paid for it. I swear to God, it was $9.99, like when Ronda Rousey started.
Wow.
So it was a steal for sure.
I mean, okay, so people brought it up. Okay, now being under the parent company, this idea of some kind of super streamer, all WWE and all of the UFC in one place. And, I gotta say, I had my record scratch moment when I'm like, wait, that could be a thing? I think about it as a fan. I mean, ESPN Plus, I mean, look, it's not cheap to be a fight fan, and particularly, I know not everyone has like 10 or 12 fight parties a year, right? Maybe only two or three, even if you're a diehard. So this idea for the fans, don't hate it. I am curious though, could you see a scenario where Could they find an affordable price that's worth it to everybody? Like how, what price, like at what point will it be just right, not too much to actually have all of that content in one place, as opposed to every month subscribe to this, buy the pay-per-view for that. What do you think?
This is tricky. Here's what I don't want. I don't want UFC and WWE to cross streams, right? I don't want them to be on the same website. I don't know if you ever shop on Gap.com, but they also own Old Navy and something else. So if you go to the Gap website, at the very top, there's a tab for Old Navy, a tab for the other one, and another store they have. So you don't have to like open up the separate web page. You can just click to the other tab, then you see their stuff, and it's the shopping carts are all shared. So you can add items from all these different stores, one shopping cart, it's great. But I don't want to see that here. I don't want to go to UFC and then see a WWE tab because they really, to me, should stay completely separate. They couldn't be more different. Athleticism, yes, they're athletes. I don't consider WWE a sport because there's no competition, right? It's all scripted. So fine, they'll be under the same umbrella. They'll have the same stock name. Although Dana White got in trouble there for spilling the beans on that. But as far as this model goes, of you pay a monthly fee and you get everything, I do wish that we had that with the UFC because we're already paying, what is it, $13? Well, I do the bundle with Disney Plus and Hulu.
Same.
I like that, right? So I just wish it also included the pay-per-view. If they merged the two, it would be strange. But if UFC did adopt that same model where you pay maybe $2 extra a month and you get the pay-per-views, that would be amazing. But I don't know. I don't know how they do that. Let me back up. UFC being with ESPN, I think should continue. It's a legitimizer for you for the sport of MMA. I think it has to stay there. But I don't know if they can create this WWE model under ESPN Plus. We'll see.
Well, I mean, something to be noted, WWE is still with Peacock, like with NBC, like they're in that whole family, like so it's not like the only place to get their pay-per-views is their app. So, I think that's one. It UFC could still stay with ESPN, but then they have a different idea, so it's like, okay, if you just want a few pay-per-views, but you don't want to subscribe every month, there's other options. I guess my whole thing when I know Dana's been asked this because fans obviously would love it, right? Like a steal of a deal, one app, get everything. And Dana just kind of was like, that's not our business model. That's not how we do it. Now it's a little closer because ironically, like when you look at Canelo and these other fights, like Canelo with DAZN, oh, you subscribe to DAZN, you get Canelo. Or you got, the Anthony Joshua. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Now it's like there's a little bit more, okay, the big fights, we still want some pay-per-view money. We're gonna, everyone can't just get it for $20. You know what I mean? Now it's a little different, and I just kind of wonder, okay, could they ever come to an agreement? Because I think the streaming companies really were, at some point people got a cut, right? The UFCs, the DAZN, the Matchroom Boxings. Now, though, everyone's like, yeah, well, we kind of miss a little bit of the pay-per-view model. And that's the impression I'm getting. And so they kind of want to find a middle ground. And for fans, I think fans as a whole, we kind of don't like that because it's like, well, like now it kind of feels like you're trying to nickel and dime it a little more. So I acknowledge my whole point of this. You got to find the right medium. Like if you tell me, hey, $40 for the whole shebang per month. And it's like, okay, well, that is a lot, but that's a lot easier than 80, 85. Don't hate it. Now, could you get fans, okay, hey, saving money, now you keep them month to month and you get your pay-per-views every month? I mean, look at these last 3 months. If you tell me you could have all of them for 40 for the last 3 months rather than 80, hey. I think a lot of fans would be enticed by that. You know what I mean?
Heck yeah.
So there you go. That's my thing. I think that this is something you gotta acknowledge. It's gonna have to hit a happy medium, but I do think it's there. And now that you have a merging of the two companies, one with an infrastructure that's proven it, all right, we could do something with that now. You know what I mean? So, anyway, all that is a lot to say, you know. How are we going to do this? Don't know, but I don't hate it. Final note, just to speed through this one so we could get to Kansas City. UFC 290 will get a title unifier. So the fight between Volkanovski and Rodriguez is set for July 8th, the International Fight Week. It is not confirmed to be the main event. However, what we've heard, Ariel Helwani says, there has been no internal talk between Jon Jones and the UFC, specifically those two. I don't know where they're at with Stipe. But essentially, they have not had a conversation about him coming back for international yet. And even Dana White this week, he was asked about it and he said, Jon Jones won the belt and poof, disappeared. Now, that's not to say this can't happen, but as of today, there have not been, you know, hey, let's talk, John, what do you want, Stipe, etc. That hasn't happened. Quick note on the undercard, one of the other fights confirmed, Bo Nickel taking on tough Ultimate Fighter finalist Trishon Gore. So that, you know, obviously continues to build up Bo Nickel. What are your thoughts on all this altogether?
Well, thrilled about Volkanovski Rodriguez. That's gonna be just that is a killer fight. I get the you know this is one of those fights I always say like it's worth the price of the pay-per-view alone. But I get it. You got sort of the elephant in the room with what's next for Jon Jones. When did Dana White say the Jon Jones won the belt and poof disappeared? Was that just this weekend?
This week, yeah, in the media, he
And
did.
the okay, that's crazy, man. Like, why can't Jon Jones just play along? Why can't he make it easy? Like, he already came back, he won. Just line up the next fight. Why are you trying to give us a heart attack or a headache over here? So yeah, obviously, anything Jon Jones is going to draw a lot of attention. This would be presumably a Universal Fight Week, International Fight Week. So that's probably what they're working on, right? I'm assuming that's why the question was posed. But I like Volkanovski Rodriguez on its own anyway. So I wouldn't be disappointed if that was the main one. But of course, Jon Jones is just sitting right there and they have to use him.
I mean, it's all about what does the undercard look like. Like, if you said we were gonna get, you know, Khamzat Chimaev on in the co-main to Alex and Volk,
That's fair, yeah.
yeah, it's like okay, no, I'm not so, you know, salt and potatoes about it, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing, but for sure, I just kind of feel like okay, now. This is what you don't want as fans and just in general, like now this idea that we're being strung along. If he says, you know, I don't want to have that talk until the end of spring. I know I said international, but maybe I'm thinking late summer. Okay. Now we don't need to worry about it. Now we can move on to what we do have and just appreciate the fights we have. But I think when you dangle the carrot of a Jon Jones fight at International Fight Week,
Yeah.
now it's distracting, right? Okay, so that's my one thing about it. Objectively, Volkan Yair is great, like you said. I mean, Yair did his part. He really threw down the gauntlet with the way he finished Josh Emmett in February. So now altogether, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this. Bo Nickel, perfect. It's only April. We're gonna get a bunch more fights between now and then. I'm not worried about it. But for sure, my biggest takeaway is I don't like the Jon Jones shadow hanging over it because. If we know, okay, it's just going to be Alex and Yair. Perfect. Okay, now just appreciate it for what it is. Let's stack the undercard. Now, though, I feel like as a fan, I'm like, well, I wanted to get Jon Jones. And as much as I like Alex and Volk, they're not Jon. And it's like, all right, now that's not, you know, no one likes feeling like that as a fan, as a spectator. So that's my one thing about it. That's what I feel. Yeah, I think that's fair. But look, obviously we're gonna wait and see. We'll find out what happens this Saturday. I mean, one, there's a lot of action. Obviously, PFL is out there, but UFC returning to the road in the United States for a fight night goes back to Kansas City, Missouri, and they're bringing the former featherweight champion, the best who has been blessed for a long time, Max Holloway, taking on surging English contender Arnold Allen. What's a funny thing about this, I like that we're getting this fight after it's been announced about Alex and Yair, because now I feel like the stakes are actually set. Now it feels like, okay, doesn't matter what happens, this guy will get the winner of that, and so on and so forth. Potentially, right? The only scenario is not another Alex and Max. But I think that, particularly for Arnold Allen, it's easy to understand what this is. This gets him a title shot. This gets him to that, he's on the verge of the summit after all these injuries have kept him to one or two fights per year for the last 8 or 9 years. I mean, how this guy has kind of, to say it's been a slow burn is an understatement, right? But look, very talented, well-rounded guy, still on the good side of, the age battle as well. I think this is getting Max Holloway at a perfect time. Opposite side of the coin, we know who Max is. You gotta ask it now. All these battles with Alex Volkanovski, coming off the loss in the trilogy, the way that fight went. One, there's almost like when you're as good as Max Holloway is and has been, how much room even is there for reinvention?
Yeah, it's a great
Because it's like,
question.
you wanna, like, is there another level for a guy like Max? Probably there should be. Look how freaking good he is right now, right? However, like, you can't tell me all these fights, this many years in the game, like 12, 13 fights in a row that he won. It's like, okay, like, does he have another gear to set up for like another long run like this that doesn't include Alex Volkanovski? Obviously, that's the question. He's done it before. Can he do it again? I don't know. You tell me, for most veterans, can they go on another long win streak exactly the same? It's not easy to do. That's why Jose Aldo was so respected for pulling it off at bantamweight. So now, all of this put together, you know how good Max can be. The best Max is still a handful for anybody, especially a guy like Arnold Allen, of course. But can he still get back to that level? What we saw against Calvin Kattar, what we saw against Yair Rodriguez, because that guy still beats probably every other featherweight not named Volkanovski, and that's still a handful. So that sets it up. Natalie, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's a great freaking point you just made about Max Holloway and what's left. How many gears can he new gears, top gears can he shift into? Because the first Volkanovski fight was close. The second one was close. The third one was not close. Volkanovski kind of owned him, right? And it showed us that Volkanovski had achieved and reached these next levels, the next gears. And Max Holloway wasn't able to keep up. But then you look at fights like Rodriguez and Kattar, and he was looking just vintage Max Holloway. So what is there for Max? Can he just be that guy? And is that enough to beat Arnold Allen? I think so. I think if he fights the way he fought Kattar and the way he fought Rodriguez, I think that's plenty. And he should be able to secure a unanimous decision. But if not, then we don't know what's next for Max Holloway if he isn't able to beat Arnold Allen. But I'm sort of encouraged by Calvin Gastelum's performance. When I think about Max Holloway, I think like, okay, now Max didn't have the downward run that Gastelum had, so it wasn't necessarily a climb back up the way it was for Gastelum. But seeing Gastelum show us that he can still be that guy makes me think that, yeah, of course Max Holloway still has it. Of course he can still come out there and show us that he was champ for so long for a reason, that those Volkanovski fights were close for a reason, except for the last one. And maybe the last one was just, maybe it was Volkanovski is just that special, and or Holloway had a bad night. We don't know. So I'm really excited to see where this puts Holloway in the picture, the top five picture, and a big moment for Arnold Allen, because Max Holloway, obviously not a gatekeeper, but I mean, is there a bigger name in this division after the champ Volkanovski? I mean, Holloway's still a bigger name than Yair Rodriguez, the interim champ. So this would be an amazing win for Arnold Allen. I'm not offering much of a breakdown at all because I think they're just kind of just going to stand there and scrap and show us what amazing fighters, MMA fighters and warriors they are. And at the end, I think Max Holloway will win by decision. But it's going to be one of those fight of the night scenarios.
Yeah, I think it's about how effective is Arnold at using the variety. I think that if he can get both the punches and the kicks working, it becomes a much closer fight. I think if he tries to box a little too much with Max, obviously that starts to favor Max, especially if it goes later. They can grapple. Arnold is perfectly capable when he's on top of you, but Max also has decent takedown defense. I think that that could be another factor. Can he get him down? And if he does, how much energy? There's a lot of little stuff. A lot of it is dependent on how well Max can keep it. Because if you like the best Max, a lot of people still pick him against anybody. Anything less, a guy like Arnold has the tools to really get this one done. I think he's really well-rounded. Like I said, tough, can scrap himself. I think it makes it tough. Like everyone, of course I like Max. I don't ever want to see like the end of what's been a beautiful run. I just think it's finally time for Arnold Allen to get it though.
Okay.
I'm gonna go unanimous decision in a tough one, but Arnold Allen gets the win.
Wow.
I think just variety of his game. I think the fact that he wasn't really injured, Calvin Kattar was at the end of that other one. That this is just gonna go for Mr. Allen, and he's gonna get it done, and he's gonna get the win, and we're gonna have a very interesting featherweight title picture to end the year.
Okay.
So that's where
All
we're
right.
at.
I like it.
Natalie, it's been a long show, but next week it's actually a very fun one. So UFC is in action. Sergey Pavlovich against Curtis Blaydes. Obviously high stakes at the for the heavyweight title. I don't gotta tell you that. I mean, after we just talked about John and Stipe. But also the return to Hawaii for Bellator, double feature, Friday night, Liz Carmouche, Saturday night, Rafion Stotts, Patchy Mix. What are your thoughts? By the way, Liz Carmouche, Deonna Bennett. Just realized I blew past that. But then Stotts Mix on Saturday, I believe it is. What are your thoughts on that whole weekend of action coming out?
Yeah, I mean, Hawaii, Bellator, Hawaii, it's always lots of fun. And so it's a great experience for the locals, and then you're going to get a good show because it's one of their bigger events of the year, so everyone's going to definitely show up. And yeah, is Alima Leigh, is she not fighting?
She is. She
Okay,
is.
that's what I
Yeah, I
thought.
think she's on Saturday.
Okay, that's right. So yeah, I mean, of course, she's still, despite not being champion, she's still the queen of Bellator when they're in Hawaii, and so that's always killer. You're gonna want to see what she does just to get to the cage, for crying out loud. That she puts on a show before she even gets there. So yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to it all as a spectacle. It's always just nice when you have variety. I'd be lying if I said, once again, it's almost like, an overindulgence these last few weeks, right? I mean, it's been quite the run for the UFC going into that one. Now, I think for a lot of people, it was like this late winter, early spring from, really from January, but just from week to week. Islam versus Alex, and then John, and then Leon, and Kamaru, and Gaethje, and now in Miami, and then we had Chito, and then we had Merab. I was like, oof, boy, it's been a run. And that even at this one where it's just almost all fight nights, it's still fun, it's still big. So, once again, just reiterating, great time in combat sports, but really great for MMA. So, yeah, we'll be back to recap the action, talk about it. Until then, remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week.